We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ron saw the sign. He opened up his eyes and saw the sign.
I can't get that song out of my head. And I don't know what the next lyric is, Ron. You know that song?
I do not know. I've heard it, but I don't know it. Who does it?
Opened up my eyes, I saw the sign. I can't think of it either.
Yeah.
I opened up my eyes, I saw my Ron.
You know that song?
Yeah, I think it's just
it's going to be a long day when we open with Starkey singing.
I love that song. That's got to be whatever happened to our song of the day, Ron?
That went
the way of the Statue of Liberty play.
We're about as consistent as Mitch Trubisky when it comes to that.
I mean, well, it's gone, basically.
We can bring it back today.
No,
we could.
You're singing. It's what a way to start the day.
I love that song. Actually, I hate it, but it's in my head all the time.
It's catchy.
Welcome back, Folsey.
Thank you.
Steiny, in your place, gave new meaning to the term, I don't give a crap. And in a weird way, Ron, I respected it in the end.
No, he was very obvious about it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
He didn't try to hide it. He just basically was counting down minutes till 156. And I mean, at 156, he was out the door.
Nothing was expected and nothing was delivered. And he didn't make any bones about it. Ron's right. I mean, it was incredible. I actually respected the fact that the guy went through the motions.
He just blatantly didn't.
Didn't do a damn thing. I mean, that's the truth. And he'll be the first to tell you. Ron, I mean, that was a tour de force of...
Well, we got our star back. We got the young pony back today. The little pony.
I don't know what the word is. Yeah, the little pony's back.
The little pony is back today after a couple days off. We missed him.
What a wonderful man he is. He's got his little Pitt sweatshirt on. He's excited for the game tomorrow night. How about you, Ron? Are you excited?
I'm excited about the Steelers game on Sunday. That's for sure. I never thought I'd be excited about a Jets-Steelers game. But I am. But I had an interesting experience yesterday.
What happened?
Ron, I'm returning your call. This is Joe Namath.
Mm.
Wow.
Still a pretty good thrill for a kid from Beaver Falls when you talk to Joe Namath. That's going to be my Sunday column. I got up at 2 o'clock this morning and wrote it. Couldn't sleep thinking about it. You ever do that where you're thinking about
it? Yeah.
And I got up at 2 and then laid back down at, like, I got done about 5 and laid back down and couldn't get back to sleep. But I'm thinking about, you know, he talked about the Jets. He talked about Trubisky. He talked about all kind of things. Update on his health. He survived a hurricane in Florida. It was a fun conversation with Broadway Joe. 79 years old.
Wow.
Do you believe that?
And still, I would imagine, sharp as a tack.
Still sharp as a tack.
In good spirits?
Yeah, yeah. Considering the hurricane, he was in Tequesta, Florida, which is in, like, Palm Beach County on the other side of the state on the East Coast. But they had a tornado there, he said, just a few miles north of him. So he had some wind damage and some trees and stuff, but overall, pretty lucky.
I remember talking to him on a couple of different occasions, Ron. And on one, okay, I'm looking it up now, he was 63, so that was 16 years ago.
Right.
And he talked about Susie Colbert. Remember that incident?
Oh, yeah.
Let me see what he said, just out of curiosity. Well, he said, I want to kiss you, right? Is that what he said at the time?
More than one time. I don't give a damn about the Jets. I want to kiss you.
I don't care about the Jets struggling, he said. He said, the Susie thing, I needed that to wake me up. Sick. I don't condone that kind of behavior, but it was a blessing in disguise. Had I not made that ugly mistake, there's no telling how I'd be today. So I think that helped him stop drinking. Really?
He said it saved his life. Well, I had him on a show here a couple times I don't know if it was with you were here or maybe I did it by myself.
I don't think I was.
Or maybe it was in the previous edition, rendition of me. I had him on, and he said it saved his life. Mm. You know, he hasn't had a drink since then. He's had a fascinating life, off the field, on the field. And obviously, to me, the guy who brought more fame than any single player to the NFL.
You might be right about that.
I always say his statistics don't belong in the Hall of Fame. He's thrown more interceptions than touchdowns. But it's the Hall of Fame, right? Who brought more fame to the NFL than him?
Right.
That Super Bowl III, that's when the leagues were merging, the AFL, the NFL.
Know.
And he brought legitimacy to it. And that's why he was as big as anybody in the world, you know, except maybe the Beatles for a few years in the late 60s. He was huge. Owned New York.
They didn't call him Broadway Joe for nothing.
Mark Kriegel did a fascinating book on him and talked about how he was, you know, he owned the clubs in New York. Literally owned one of them, Bachelor's Three, and Roselle made him get out of it. Didn't like the unsavory characters who went there. Now all the sports are in bed with the gamblers, right? And back then he made him get rid of his interest in Bachelor's Three. But in the book, it talks about how he'd go into a club and like Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones were in there, surrounded by the beautiful girls, beautiful women. And they'd see Joe walk in and they'd leave the Stones and Mick to go over to Joe.
That says it all.
He was huge. Did the brute, you know, I'm from Beaver Falls too, so it means more to me than most people. But I wore the Dingo boots. I wore Brute aftershave because that's what he promoted. My mother wouldn't let me wear pantyhose. He did a national campaign.
I'm glad about that.
National campaign for pantyhose.
I remember that.
You know, the mink coats, just the life he has led. And for a period of time, he was the biggest, you know, he was Tiger Woods. He was Michael Jordan. He was as big a sports star as there was in the world. So it was still fun to talk to him all these years later. He's 79. Listen to this. He had right shoulder replacement surgery. I said that probably threw a few too many passes, right?
It's one of the most famous right shoulders in American history.
It goes back to my days on 6th Street in Beaver Falls playing with my friend Linwood Alford. I've been throwing balls around since I was old enough to walk. So.
Joe could run too back in the day before all the knee issues.
Right. He was a great baseball player.
What an athlete. So he'd walk into a bar and people would leave Mick Jagger to walk over to him. That's like when Fulzy walks into a Giant Eagle run.
Yeah,
you should see what happens.
People like flock to him, don't they?
Has it happened yet, Fulzy? I've asked you this periodically, and I think it's time for an update. Horse became known as Horse, Joe Kopp, out in public. People would walk up to him, especially at his games he was coaching out in Mars, and say, "Hi, Horse." Do they call you Fulzy when you're out and about? Do they recognize you?
Not really, but the only thing that I get in terms of Fulzy is, why are you named Fulzy?
That's at least it's something.
I know. Why in the world do they call you Fulzy? And so I have to go through the entire process of the producer before me. It was a horse. He was older.
Well, I get a kick out of our friend Shelty calling you Fulzy.
I love that.
That's pretty cool.
He is committed hard to that.
Off the Top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. It's a Football Friday, and we're going to start out with a nice cold six-pack.
Oh, on the weekend, baby. Yeah, bring it on.
Hang on. I was unprepared. You said it before the show, and I forgot about
the
cans.
Who are you, Steiny? You should have seen his act the past few days. I mean, it was incredible. He wasn't even listening to the show back there.
No.
Literally.
He kept his excuse was, well, I'm going through tape. You know,
I went back there. There were 6 phone calls once. I'm like, Steiny, phone, telephone. Can you answer it?
Steiny's great on traffic, though. You ever heard his traffic reports?
He's got the best voice in town.
I know.
We're ready?
There it is. Mm. What a way to start the weekend.
A little happy hour, but not a happy occasion for the first topic. The Tua situation from last night, which really began last weekend. With him getting staggered and the Dolphins just doubling and tripling down that it wasn't a head injury for him, that neurological symptoms aren't what caused him to stumble the way he did against the Bills in that game. And so then this leads into a game you know, 4 days later, where it's just a sickening play where his arm and fingers kind of freeze up. This time, obviously, it's a head injury and has a lot of people wondering, Ron, whether he should have played in this game. Ryan Fitzpatrick, his old teammate, was on the telecast last night saying, basically, listen, I've had every injury over 16 years. I never wobbled. He's talking about the Bills game.
Right.
I never wobbled around like that.
He came back into that game, by the way.
Yeah.
He left in like the second quarter, and he came back in the third quarter.
So should he have played?
To me, first of all, this has lawsuit written all over it. The NFLPA said it's, you know, really investigating why he was allowed to go back into the game. I saw somebody tweet out, I think it might have been the athletics guy for the Vikings, saying, don't question if he met the protocols. Find a way to strengthen the protocols. And if I'm blaming anybody in this, I'm blaming the doctors. It's an independent doctor that examines him. The coach has nothing to say about this, and I believe that. Mike Tomlin always says that. And you heard Bill Belichick the other day when he was asked about Mac Jones. He said, what do I look like, an orthopedic surgeon? They either tell me he can play or they tell me he can't
play.
So
it wasn't a team doctor who cleared him?
A team doctor's looked at him, but there's also an independent guy at every game, an independent, not just the team. Now, the team doctors, I'm sure, were there too.
Yeah.
But there's an independent guy. And they tell McDaniel he can play. So if I'm McDaniel, I play him. If they tell me he can't play, he's not good to go, then you move on to Teddy Bridgewater. So if I'm blaming anyone, I'm blaming the doctors. But, you know, maybe this guy was right. You know, that maybe they need to strengthen the protocol somehow. I don't know.
Do we need a protocol when we watch a guy wobbling around, unable to walk? Shouldn't anybody with common
Absolutely.
Sense? I don't need a medical degree to conclude that that's a symptom of a head injury.
But I mean,
I'm just not buying that it was a back injury.
I'm not buying it. I'm not either. But, I mean, maybe he met the protocols at halftime when he was examined to get cleared.
Sure.
But I was watching some of these, you know, I think it was Chris Canty, who's really good, saying he knew last night when your fingers freeze, that's part of a concussion. He said, I've seen that before.
Yeah.
You know that's a concussion. And they all said the same thing you said, that when he was staggering, it was a concussion.
Yeah.
So they probably shouldn't have let him back into the game. But did he clear the protocols that are in place?
Sometimes common sense has to supersede the protocols, whether I'm the owner of the team, the GM, or the coach.
Well, Todd, the owner's just suspended, right? He's not around, isn't he?
So he's not around, but I'm sure he can weigh in with a decision that's that.
Who makes that call? Is that? To me, it's the doctors. They're the only people.
Well, yeah, he was cleared to play by the doctors.
Right,
but I always question the true, quote, independence of doctors as well in these situations.
I think when the league went to all this, you know, safety protocols, you know, increased safety for the players, they put in used to be the team doctors would make the call, and they had pressure to get the guy back in the field, but now there's an independent doctor at every facility. And that's
right.
Who makes the ultimate call, who doesn't have pressure from the team.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if those doctors are feeling good about that.
They should
two
be
doctors
like
cleared him
today.
Barry Jackson, two doctors cleared Tua last Sunday, whether it was the right call or not. Many, many people without medical degrees spewing on Twitter tonight. See, I don't know that I need a medical degree to watch that and say, and by the way, to have the knowledge, like we all should have, that concussion symptoms often don't manifest themselves for days.
Right.
So why he was cleared to practice within 48 hours after that, I have no idea.
That's a good point about days. I remember I did a story, a long interview with Marc-Andre Fleury. He won like his 30th game that year and something. And I this was back in the day. I could sit at his locker and talk to him for like a half an hour. And he had won his 30th game, but this was when his commercial came out. Remember with his daughters and changing the diapers with the hockey stick.
Yeah, it was great.
One of the greatest commercials of all time. He was perfectly fine. He went home that night, driving home. The lights bothered him. He had a concussion. And then he missed like months, like weeks, months.
Right.
You know, if I talked to him that night, he was perfectly fine.
Yeah.
So you never know when the symptoms are going to hit, right?
Yeah, I don't I don't want to play doctor, but you know what? If a any doctor, team doctor, independent doctor, looks at that incident from last Sunday and thinks a guy should go back in the game, they're wrong. I will supersede medical knowledge on that. They're wrong. You shouldn't send a guy back into a game after witnessing what we witnessed.
It goes back to if there's even a doubt, I think. If there's even a doubt of whether that was a concussion symptom, I think you have to play so far on the err on the side of caution, and I'm not sure that they're there yet.
Todd Haley last night tweets out after Tua got just flung to the ground, and we saw that sickening aftermath. And by the way, he got released from the hospital.
Traveled home with the team.
Traveled home. Todd Haley tweets out, really disappointed Tua was allowed to play this week for the Dolphins after what I saw last week. I would have said this isn't right, praying for Tua. Andrew Brandt, there are so many reasons Tua shouldn't have played tonight, and so many people, adults who know better, that allowed it. There will be lawyers. So
this is lawsuit written all over it.
Right. And then, of course, there was the site of the incident last night, which you couldn't help but think about. This is where Ryan Shazier got hurt. And Shazier himself tweeted out, praying for Tua. May God be with you and hopefully okay. The staff at UC Hospital does a great job with care. You're in great hands, he tweets out. So just really sickening. Really sickening to witness that last night. And man, I have to wonder. By the way, the investigation into that hit was still ongoing as of last night's game. What was that, Ron?
That was me. Sorry.
Come on, Folsy. Get back in the game.
That image of his head smacking into that, it's basically concrete. And then his fingers frozen like.
Yeah.
It's absolutely stomach turning.
Yeah. Yeah, send him back in the game. Maybe he would have cleared all the protocols last night as well. Who knows? But the it doesn't make sense because the protocols don't allow for enough time to find out if other symptoms manifest. What are we doing here? Didn't we all learn about concussions through Ben, through Sidney Crosby, all these people where it would be fine? You remember when Ben didn't play against the Ravens, Ron? That's because when he exercised on a Saturday, many days after his concussion, he had exercise-induced symptoms. I know that. What are we doing with these doctors? Honestly.
I don't know. Somebody's going to have to live with this.
So I see a guy stagger with obvious neurological symptoms. My decision would be you're done for at least 3, 4, 5 days here until we see if anything else manifests. You're going to have to go through the protocol over these next several days and exercise and things like that, see if anything comes up, because that's what we know about concussions. Not enough still, but at least that.
Yeah, and there's so much gray area. I mean, do you keep a guy out for the next week no matter what, even if he wasn't? Like Minka Fitzpatrick, he was in concussion protocol. You know, if he doesn't show any symptoms throughout the week, do you still err on that side of caution and say, you know what, you're
might.
Not playing?
You might.
No matter what?
Yeah, and sometimes the guy himself can step in, but we all know most athletes, when they reach this level, are going to play.
They want to play. That's how they support their families.
There's Andrew Whitworth said last night on national television, I'm reading Roundtree's tweet, Whitworth said, I was able to lie my way through an NFL concussion test and come back into a game a few years ago. Of course, anybody can, because a lot of this is dependent on the person being truthful when you ask them if they're having symptoms.
And guys like Hines Ward, James Harrison have said they've lied their way back onto the field.
So that automatically makes these quote protocol tests inadequate at best, because they rely on the patient to, it's not like looking at an X-ray. It's one of the rare medical tests where the patient has to tell you what's going on in order for you to make a diagnosis.
They're not always truthful.
Right, and that's why it's so hard for me to have like a strict opinion on it, because it varies from case to case so often. You just don't know how these guys are going to handle it.
I thought
after.
That was part of the protocol. If there were obvious neurological symptoms displayed, deficits displayed, then a guy couldn't come back into a game. I thought that was part of this.
That would make sense.
From years ago. But instead, we have to listen to the Dolphins coach telling us it was the back injury caused that. Let me find Ryan Fitzpatrick quote from last night.
It was just horrifying. I mean, I just saw now people were putting in out on social media. Somebody put out a Roger Staubach from a game in 1978, literally knocked out.
Yeah.
I mean, the back of his head hit that turf, which is basically cement.
Yeah.
Hit that turf. That helmet doesn't help you in that situation. Knocked him out.
Did he come back in that game, I wonder?
Nah, he did not. And I saw Vito Stellino. If you're old enough, you remember Vito Stellino covering the Steelers around here, tweeted out that he also had one in Pittsburgh like the next year that led to his retirement. Mm.
I didn't know that he retired on account of concussions. I never knew that on concussions. All right. That's only the first topic. We have five more in our opening.
But that was a
six
that was a
here.
That was a 16 ouncer there.
That was,
man.
A pounder. Yeah.
That was a pounder. That wasn't just 12 ounces. That was a big boy.
That's a lot. There's a lot there, including from the football perspective. Does he play in the next game? When you look ahead to the Steelers' schedule, do the Dolphins look as daunting with Teddy Bridgewater? They're coming off. I figured that would be it. Well, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about the game last night from a football perspective and from a Joe Burrow perspective. And how about the Bengals fans last night? Let's do that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.